Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks gain as earnings season continues.
Up next, results from Bank of America and Netflix.
Meanwhile, Disney boosts its stake in Hulu as AT&T exits the streaming service.
And Europe's biggest IPO of the year gets off to a weak start.
French President Macron vows to rebuild Notre Dame after a devastating fire. Plus, House Democrats issue subpoenas to Deutsche Bank amid a probe on President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets got blown out in the second half in their playoff game in Philadelphia. The Clippers with a huge comeback to beat the Warriors. The Mets won extra innings in Philly.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager, and global stocks are trading modestly higher this morning. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up nearly 11 points. Dow futures up 120 points. NASDAQ futures up 35.5. The DAX in Germany up 0.75%. The CAC in Paris up nearly 0.2%. London's FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Price of the 10-year down 3/32. The yield 2.56%. 2-year treasuries yield 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.25% or 16 cents at $63.24 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $4. It's at $1,287.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1310 against the dollar. The yen at 111.94. John.
And Nathan, let's begin in Asia, where stocks in China led gains as data points to more signs of stability in the world's second largest economy. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. New home price growth in China snapped a four-month weakening streak in March, boosting confidence. The data, one of the first official signs there could be a widespread recovery in the nation's housing market. The CSI 300 gained over 2% on the mainland. Hong Kong stocks were also well supported. Japanese shares fluctuated near four-month highs, lenders lagging in the wake of Citi and Goldman Sachs' earnings. The Aussie dollar was the worst performing G10 currency as RBA minutes showed the nation's central bank discussed possible rate cuts at its April meeting. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, stocks in Europe are heading higher this morning as well. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Yeah, shares trading modestly higher around Europe today. We're just 2 hours into the session and most equity markets now in the green, with the benchmark Stoxx 600 up 0.3%. All but three of 19 industry groups in positive territory, led up by the car makers and the banking sector. Zalando, the biggest gainer. That's after the German online fashion retailer unexpectedly said it was profitable in the first quarter. Its shares currently up almost 11%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Back here in the U.S., it's all about earnings, with a dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. Bank of America opens its books after underwhelming results from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. The banking sector's facing challenges on several fronts, according to Bianco Research President Jim Bianco.
They've got the yield curve working against them. They've been persistently underperforming for the last several months. Now, I don't expect them to be a disaster, but I do think that for them to keep moving forward, we're going to need a change in the environment. So I think there's definitely challenges ahead for the banks.
When Bank of America reports this morning, Bloomberg Intelligence says trading may be a drag on overall revenue, though loan growth could be a positive.
Well, we also get earnings from Netflix today, with the streaming service provider reporting first quarter results after the close of U.S. trading. Greg Jarrett has a preview from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Guidance from Netflix calls for a gain of 1.6 million U.S. subscribers, reflecting a cautious tone after a recent price hike. Bloomberg Intelligence says international subscriptions continue to be a key growth engine for Netflix, with expectations for a gain of 7.3 million overseas customers. Now, that would be 22% higher than the same time last year. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Greg, thank you. We also have a deal in the streaming video space with Hulu buying out AT&T's stake in the company. Bloomberg's Emily Chang has details.
Hulu Google has agreed to buy back AT&T's 9.5% stake in the streaming platform for $1.43 billion. The deal values Hulu at $15 billion. Disney gained a majority stake in Hulu after acquiring 21st Century Fox for $72 billion in March. Disney CEO Bob Iger has since said he's interested in acquiring the rest.
The rest of Hulu is owned by cable provider Comcast. Hulu is projected to lose $1.5 billion this year, and Disney doesn't expect it to be profitable for at least another 4 years.
And Europe's biggest IPO of the year is off to a weak start. Shares of Nexi are falling in Italy on the payment service company's first day of public trading. And Bloomberg's Tommaso Ebhardt has more from Milan.
They managed to raise over 2 billion euros. This is less than what they initially wanted to raise. The first day of trading is not great for them, but for a Nexi investor, it's clearly a huge capital gain.
And shares of Nexi are currently lower by 6% in Milan.
On the economic front, looks like the Federal Reserve could keep rates on hold until fall of next year. That's according to Chicago Fed President Charles Evans, who says there could even be a rate cut if inflation falls. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren is also highlighting the central bank's dependence on inflation data.
If you look at core inflation, which is taking out oil prices and food prices, and ask what is the underlying inflation rate, it's 1.8%. So our goal is 2%. For an economist, being only 0.2 off, not too bad.
Price pressures have eased over the past 9 months. In July, underlying inflation rose above the Fed's 2% target for the first time in 6 years. It has since slipped to 1.8%, and analysts expect it to head even lower.
And coming up today, the Fed issues data on industrial production for March. Economists forecast a gain of 0.2%. Details from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The Fed's industrial report tracks monthly production at factories, mines, and utilities. Bloomberg Economics says utility demand should boost overall output in today's report, but manufacturing will probably remain soft. On Monday, regional data from the New York Fed pointed to tepid growth in manufacturing. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. We have data out of Germany crossing the Bloomberg terminal. ZEW investor expectations for April rose to 3.1. That beat estimates for just a 0.5% gain. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Two House committees have issued subpoenas to multiple financial institutions regarding any possible illicit activities tied to President Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The House Intelligence and Financial Services Committees have issued the subpoenas. Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff's statement saying, "It is part of our oversight authority and authorized investigation into allegations of potential foreign influence on the U.S. political process." And Finance Chair Maxine Waters says, "The Financial Services Committee is exploring these matters, including as they may involve the president and his associates, as thoroughly as possible pursuant to its oversight authority, and will follow the facts wherever they may lead us." Subpoenas to Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, the Justice Department says it's preparing to release on Thursday a redacted version of the special counsel's report on Russian election interference. Authorities are assessing the stability of Notre Dame Cathedral after a fire ripped through the iconic monument in central Paris. The fire seriously damaged large parts of the 850-year-old structure. President Emmanuel Macron, late last evening, vowed to rebuild the cathedral. However, it will likely take years to rebuild. Macron, speaking through an interpreter, thanked the hundreds of firefighters for their efforts.
Thanks to their courage, the facade and the principal decor have not collapsed.
World leaders are expressing sorrow about the fire, including President Donald Trump.
It was burning at a level that you rarely see a fire burn. It's one of the great treasures of the world.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says that the French people's spirits of liberty, equality, and fraternity will never be dashed by flames. Parents have issued the first formal challenge to the government in the U.S. college cheating scandal. Two of the parents indicted say there is no evidence they were part of a single conspiracy. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Nets and the Mets were both in Philadelphia. One playing inside, one out. Mixed results. Nets, after taking game one of their playoff series, hung with the Sixers in the first half, then let Philly tie an NBA playoff record with 51 points in the third quarter. The Sixers won going away 145 to 123. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson saw Ben Simmons go for a triple-double.
I thought Ben was excellent. He really picked it up, and it was really in that third quarter. You know, they picked him up full court. They denied him. I think that got us out of our rhythm. You know, obviously his athleticism and size and his activity was very good tonight. Caused us a lot of problems.
So the series tied at one, heading to Brooklyn for Game 3 Thursday. Warriors and Clippers are tied at one. Clippers with the biggest comeback in NBA playoff history. Trailed Golden State by 31 in the second half, came back to win 135-131, and the two-time defending NBA champions may have lost their starting center DeMarcus Cousins to a leg injury. As for the Mets, took them a while. They blew leads of 3-0, 5-3, 6-5. Phillies tied the game eighth inning thanks to some wildness by the Met bullpen. But in the 11th inning, a Rhys Hoskins error gave the Mets the lead back. They won 7-6. The first Yankee-Red Sox game of the season tonight at the stadium. Two struggling teams. Yanks are 6-9. Boston 6-11, lost its Patriots Day game to the lowly Orioles 8-1. Stanley Cup playoffs, Toronto beat Boston 3-2, Carolina over Washington 5-0, Nashville topped Dallas 3-2, Colorado beat Calgary 6-2, the Leafs, Predators, and Avs take 2-1 series leads. The Caps lead is now 2-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. Will the man who won a record-setting $1.2 million payout for betting on Tiger Woods to win the Masters? Turns out was a first-time sports bettor who just day-tripped into Las Vegas from Wisconsin. James Aducci made the $85,000 wager at 14-1 odds and then flew right back home, according to William Hill, which took the bet. Aducci says he helped secure $85,000 for the bet in part by selling some of his shares in Amazon. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak, being brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, global stocks are rising this morning. Investors showing confidence the equity rally will find fresh support from corporate earnings this week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 94 points, NASDAQ futures up 31 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%, CAC in Paris little change to higher, FTSE in London up 0.2%. Price of the 10-year down 1/32nd. The yield 2.55%. 2-year Treasuries 2.38% yield. NYMEX crude oil down nearly 0.3% or 18 cents, trading at $63.23 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5 at $12.86.30 to the ounce. The euro at 1.1292 against the dollar. The yen at 111.89. A dozen companies on the S&P 500 report earnings today, including Bank of America before the bell at 9:15 Wall Street time. We get industrial production numbers for March and the NAHB housing market index at 10 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's happening around the world, here's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Paris's deputy mayor says Notre Dame's organ, among the world's most famous, remains intact after a devastating fire at the main cathedral. French President Emmanuel Macron vows to rebuild the cathedral. Two House committees have issued subpoenas to multiple financial institutions regarding whether foreign nations try to influence U.S. politics amid a probe on President Trump. The subpoenas were issued to Deutsche Bank and others. In the NBA playoffs, the Nets lost to the 76ers. The series is tied at a game apiece. The Clippers pulled off a huge comeback to beat the Warriors to even that series at a game apiece. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins are down 2-1 after losing to the Leafs. The Capitals were routed by the Hurricanes 5-0, but Washington is still up in the series 2-1. In baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox tonight. Yesterday, Boston lost to the Orioles the Mets won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 520 on Wall Street, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the corporate earnings results have been rolling in. And what do they tell us about the economic outlook? Let's put that question this morning to our first guest. Michael Youssen is the Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, joining us from the UK this morning. Well, just how solid do things look to you, Michael Youssen?
Yeah, good morning. It's been a bit of a mixed bag, really. I think on the one hand, you can look at companies like Zalando, which has posted some decent numbers this morning, JD Sports Fashion. Another retailer here in the United Kingdom, which recently bought Finish Line in the US and again has posted some fairly decent numbers. But on the flip side of that, you've also got some disappointment. UK construction company Galliford Tribe posting a profits warning. So you've got some winners and you've got some losers. I think what's driving, I think, this particular rally that we've seen this week is obviously there's fairly low volumes because we're coming up to Easter. But I think the fact that we've managed to defer a no-deal Brexit, and that the European Union and the US have decided that they want to sit down and hold trade talks, has given us a slightly more benign investment environment at a time when I think there is, I think, confidence that maybe data in China is starting to pick up. We should get some confirmation of that tomorrow when China releases its first quarter GDP numbers and its industrial production and retail sales data. So I think in the absence of a significant overhang of tail risk, the line of least resistance is really for equity markets to continue to edge higher. You're certainly seeing that in US markets, which look as if they're going to reverse all of yesterday's losses and open quite a bit higher.
Okay, the gains that we've seen, let's take the S&P 500, for instance, up almost 16% since the beginning of the year. Is that buttressed by other, let's say, technical indicators? You had mentioned in the pre-interview the Russell 2000, the broader index there, measuring some of the small caps, that it doesn't really add up for you.
It doesn't, no. I mean, but then again, the Russell 2000, I think, has probably been more geared to the U.S. economy and domestic demand there. And certainly, I think, if you look at the GDP numbers, the boost that we got in light of the Trump tax cuts, I think, is starting to come out of the numbers. And I think there is a concern that when we get GDP numbers out of the US next week, we could see a significant slowdown. Certainly, I think retail sales numbers in particular have been not as strong in the first quarter of this year than they were at the end of last year. And that would appear to suggest that higher costs maybe are also weighing on US domestic businesses against a backdrop of slightly firmer inflationary pressures. I think we're starting to see higher costs sort of bleed in to US businesses at a time when wages are on the rise as well. So there is a bit of a disconnect there, and I am a little bit concerned because it does appear to me the S&P and the Dow are running ahead of the Russell.
S&P 500, again, up about 16%. Year-to-date. I want to shift a bit to the banking results that we've got. It would appear that J.P. Morgan last week may have been the outlier. What does it tell you about the financial sector?
It worries me a little bit, if I'm honest with you, because I think if J.P. Morgan, there were some decent numbers, but again, there was some weak spots in there, particularly around investment banking and trading. And it tells me that if companies like J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, maybe today, later this week, Morgan Stanley and what have you, if they are struggling to generate significant amounts of revenues and what have you, what does that say about European banks, which aren't anywhere near as well as advanced in cleaning up their balance sheets and restructuring their businesses, the Deutsches of this world, the Societe Generales, the BNP Paribas, who've recently announced significant job losses in their investment banking divisions at a time when interest rates here in Europe are likely to remain negative. I have significant concerns about the European banking sector at a time when the ECB is likely to remain on hold for at least the next year or so.
And they're not going to get any help on when it comes to net interest margins, for instance.
No, they're not.
I mean, it's a basket case that could actually get worse, right?
I certainly don't think it's going to get any better. And for all of this talk about TLTROs, I think what you want to see with respect to cheap loans is there a demand for them? And with the best will in the world, I'm not seeing that at the moment. There are still significant concerns about the health of the European banking sector. Yes, it's in better shape now than it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago, but there is still an awful lot of progress that needs to be made. And we've got bank earnings out of UK and Europe coming out in the next couple of weeks, and I'll be paying very close attention to them.
Michael, thanks a lot. You've given us a lot to think about. Michael Hewson, the Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, joining us from London this morning. S&P futures in the U.S., they are 10 points higher right now. The Dow futures are up 98 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, after the closing bell, Netflix reports its results. We'll talk to Geetha Raghunathan of Bloomberg Intelligence about what to expect. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at eisneramper.com/QOFbook.
All right, we're just about 4 hours away now from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks rise around the world this morning. U.S. futures are higher a day after the S&P 500 slipped from a six-month high. Equities in China got a boost today. They gained more than 2% after signs of recovery in the housing market. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
The value of new homes gained 0.61% month-on-month in March. On an annual basis, prices were up 11.3% compared to 11.1% in February. Now, the recovery was stronger in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. There, local governments used a kind of stealth easing to offer support. This rebound raises the question of whether any further easing will be needed. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, thanks. We also, back here in the U.S., the parade of earnings continues today with the results from Bank of America. Jeff Bellinger has details.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the bank likely benefited from the improved industry loan growth seen in Federal Reserve data. Commercial and industrial lending has outpaced other categories at B of A. Forecasts are for Bank of America to post a profit of 66 cents a share on revenue topping $23 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. We also get earnings from Netflix and IBM this afternoon.
A disappointing debut for Europe's biggest IPO of the year. Shares of Nexi are down more than 6% in Milan trading. Nexi is Italy's biggest payment service company.
The UK labor market continued its impressive performance in the 3 months through February. The number of people in work rose by 179,000 to a record high, keeping unemployment at 3.9%, the lowest rate since 1975.
Investor confidence in Germany improved for the sixth consecutive month. ZEW investor expectations for April rose 3.1, beating estimates for just a 0.5% gain.
And UniCredit's German banking unit is pleading guilty to U.S. charges that it allowed Iranian customers conduct transactions in violation of sanctions. The bank will pay $1.3 billion as part of a settlement.
And let's take a look at how stocks are faring. S&P futures up nearly 9 points now. Dow futures up 101 points. NASDAQ futures up 30. 10-year Treasury yield 2.55%. The 2-year at 2.38%. The euro at 1.1289 against the dollar. The yen at 111.87. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Witnesses were in tears as they watched the iconic Notre Dame Cathedral in flames.
The flames kept getting bigger and bigger, and the towers, the two towers in the front, kept getting darker and darker, and we all felt helpless looking at it.
World leaders are mourning the devastating cathedral fire. South Korea's president says the French people's spirit of liberty, equality, and fraternity will never be dashed by flames. And a Japanese official said, "Our hearts ache over the damage." French President Emmanuel Macron speaking through an interpreter.
This cathedral is one that we will rebuild. This is where, here, and that is part of the French destiny and the project that we will have in the years to come, and I commit myself to this.
The fire toppled the spire and burned through much of the roof, but fire officials said the iconic two bell towers were saved. It's an escalation of probes into President Donald Trump's finances and any dealings with Russians. Congressional Democrats issued subpoenas to Deutsche Bank and other banks to obtain long-sought documents indicating whether foreign nations try to influence U.S. politics. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff said his panel made the requests in coordination with the House Financial Services Committee. The Justice Department says it's preparing to release on Thursday a redacted version of the special counsel's report on Russian election interference. President Trump highlighted the tax cuts he signed into law during a speech at a trucking company in the Minneapolis suburb of Burnsville. The president claimed his politics are driving economic gains.
We virtually eliminated the unfair estate tax or death tax. We eliminated it for small business and small farms.
The president says income tax rates were lowered across the board. Senator Bernie Sanders released a decade's worth of his tax returns as he makes a second run at the White House against Democratic Party rivals. The returns show Sanders and his wife earned more than $519,000 of taxable income in 2018. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, two NBA playoff game twos. A playoff record was set, another record was tied. In Philadelphia, the Sixers tied a record with a 51-point third quarter, they pulled away from the Nets, 145-123, a triple-double for Ben Simmons. So the series is tied at one with Game 3 Thursday in Brooklyn. In Oakland, the L.A. Clippers broke the record for largest comeback in playoff history. They trailed the Warriors by 31 in the second half, came back to win 135-131. L.A. trailed 73-50 at halftime, rallied to beat Steve Kerr's two-time defending NBA champions.
We stopped playing. We kind of disconnected kind of mid-third quarter and lost our defensive edge. I mean, they scored 85 points in the second half. You know, we had really done a good job defensively in the first half. Kind of messed with the game a little bit. And when you do that, you're in some trouble, especially in the playoffs.
And the Warriors lost center DeMarcus Cousins. Looked like a serious leg injury. Windy night in Philly. Figured to be a good pitching matchup. Noah Syndergaard against Aaron Nola, but both gave up 5 runs. The Mets never trailed. Took them 11 innings, 4.5 hours, but they beat the Phillies 7-6. The go-ahead run scored on an error. Yankees and Red Sox tonight at the stadium. Who figured they'd go into their first meeting of the season a combined 12-20. Stanley Cup playoffs, Toronto beat Boston 3-2. Carolina shut out Washington 5-0. Nashville topped Dallas 3-2. And Colorado beat Calgary 6-2. Russell Wilson not going anywhere. He and the Seattle Seahawks agreed to a new 4-year, $140 million contract. Makes Wilson the highest paid player in the NFL. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. Well, the winning golf ball Tiger Woods used to make his Masters clinching putt may go for a small fortune. Golden Auctions founder Ken Golden says the ball could go for anywhere between $200,000 and $500,000 if it ever goes up for sale. By the way, you can buy a similar Bridgestone ball online for $3.75. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on thousands of Dominicans hunting for treasure that may not exist. Also, in this week's issue, why a merger with Commerce Bank could make business for Deutsche Bank even messier. Ed Robinson wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
They're vital institutions, but they're also very weak institutions. Both banks have struggled to generate revenue growth, to generate profitability, to show the kind of strength and resilience that a lot of other European banks have started to produce.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. Long Island, Suffolk County is to become the first in New York to establish a charitable gift reserve fund. It's an effort to protect homeowners from changes in federal tax law. A Suffolk County executive says he'll sign legislation that allows taxpayers to receive a tax credit for voluntary contributions made to a charitable gift reserve fund. Unionized workers at 20 Connecticut nursing homes threatened to strike Monday, citing low wages. More than 2,500 employees could walk off May 1st if an agreement isn't reached. They aired their demands as Stop and Shop workers ended the fifth day of their strike that has stretched across southern New England. And Newark Liberty International will be the home of the first nonstop flight from North America to Cape Town, South Africa. United Airlines' newest airliner, the Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner, starts the service in December. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
John. And thanks, Ed. 540 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Streaming giant Hulu bought out AT&T's stake in a deal worth $1.4 billion.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from United Health.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Galliford Try. The UK home builder has plunged on news it will review its construction unit.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting Exxon and Occidental Petroleum could be the next companies to make big acquisitions in the Permian Basin.
Yeah, those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And this on a morning when futures in the U.S. point to a higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures are 10 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, after the closing bell, we get results from Netflix. And Geetha Raghunathan of Bloomberg Intelligence will be here with a preview. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures point to a higher open as investors ready for more earnings releases with confidence in the equity rally. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up nearly 10 points. Dow futures up 105 points. NASDAQ futures up 33 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris little changed to higher. FTSE in London up 0.2%. The price of the 10-year little changed. It's at 2.55%. The 2-year yield 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil little changed, $63.40 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20, trading at $1,286.10 to the troy ounce. The euro at 1.1293 against the dollar, and the yen at 111.87. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Authorities are assessing the stability of Notre Dame Cathedral after a fire ripped through the iconic monument in central Paris and seriously damaged large parts of the structure. France's deputy interior minister says the fire risk has been removed, and now it's about the building itself. House Democrats are requesting documents for their investigation of President Trump's business dealings. Two committees have now issued subpoenas to financial institutions. In the NBA playoffs, the Nets lost to the 76ers. The series is tied at a game apiece. The Clippers pulled off a huge comeback to beat the Warriors to even that series at a game apiece. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins lost to the Leafs. The Capitals were routed by the Hurricanes. In baseball, the Yankees host the Red Sox tonight. Yesterday, Boston lost to the Orioles. The Mets won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 5:49 on Wall Street. It's 11:49 in Paris, where the mood is somber in the aftermath of a fire that ripped through the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The iconic structure took more than 200 years to build and just a few hours to burn. It's rich with history, serving as a setting to crown kings and celebrate the liberation of Paris from Nazi Germany. As French authorities assess the damage and craft plans to rebuild the monument, Bloomberg's Bob Moon brings us this report.
If there was any good news to report as firefighters finally got control of the flames late into the night, it was word that they were able to save the two rectangular bell towers at the front of the 12th century building, although it will undoubtedly be years before those bells are heard again. It was considered the gem of French Gothic architecture, painstakingly constructed by hand, its cornerstone laid in 1163. And in the more than 850 years since, it had survived numerous challenges, ransacked, desecrated, and when it fell into serious disrepair, nearly the victim of calls to tear it down. It came through two world wars, and through the will of the people, Notre Dame Cathedral has always managed to rise again. Addressing his shocked nation last night, President Emmanuel Macron declared, as heard through a translator, "We will rebuild this cathedral."
The place
nous avons vécu
where we have
tous nos grands moments,
lived through all
nos
our great
épidémies,
moments,
nos guerres,
epidemics, wars, liberations. It is the epicenter
de notre vie.
Of our life.
That was no overstatement. For centuries, all streets in Paris, all roads in France, for that matter, led there. But during the French Revolution, it was viewed as a symbol of oppression and fell victim to numerous acts of vandalism. People took swipes at it with axes and hammers, beheading many statues. It was there that Napoleon chose to be crowned emperor in 1804. But by then, the long-neglected building on an island in the middle of the River Seine was plagued by a lead roof full of leaks. An architect determined to save the dilapidated building enlisted the help of a friend, writer Victor Hugo. His resulting novel, Notre Dame de Paris, or Our Lady of Paris, was later republished in English as The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The book helped spark a movement for its restoration thanks to his rapturous descriptions of the architectural treasure, as reflected in the 1939 movie version of his classic story.
All over France, in every city, there stand cathedrals like this one. Triumphal monuments of the past. They tower over the homes of our people like mighty guardians, keeping alive the invincible faith of the Christian. Every arch, every column, every statue is a carved leaf out of our history, a book in stone, glorifying the spirit of France.
Hugo himself summed up its beauty with just three words, Symphony in Stone. He helped make it one of the most popular tourist destinations in the world, with more visitors even than the Eiffel Tower, as Bloomberg News Paris reporter Greg Viscusi noted.
The most visited monument in Paris, it's about, up to 50,000 people a day can visit it. It's a terrible cultural loss.
Perhaps it was the splendorous architecture that drew so many, or the trove of fine art and religious relics inside. Among them, the crown of thorns, believed by Catholics to have been worn by Jesus Christ himself before his crucifixion. The mayor of Paris said in a tweet that it and other relics had been saved, something in which New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan found special significance.
To see that reduced to ashes, my oh my, I remember our song, From the Ashes, We Rise Up. We want to rise up with Jesus at Easter, and I believe that there'll be some rising from this dying.
Much of the building's attraction, no doubt, was fascination with the heart-tugging subject of Hugo's fictional story, shunned for his deformed appearance and deaf from his years of ringing the cathedral's bells, Quasimodo.
Gabriel, Guillaume, Big Marie, she made me deaf, you know. I can hear my friend.
Lately, the ringing had been limited to a single bell, and only on special occasions, because at more than 13 tons, there was concern it could shake the tower more than it could withstand. A $6.8 million renovation project had been underway for the past couple of years, and much speculation has focused on that as a possible cause of the fire. Now, in many ways, they will be starting again from the ground up. Restoration expert Kripali Crochet is an associate dean at Indiana's University of Notre Dame, and says it will take years to even start rebuilding.
There has to be a complete understanding of the construction, reconstruction of this building, which may take at least a period of 5 years.
But again, the will of the people seems clear. People who see their lives reflected in a building. Journalism student Celia Hedeberg notes they are drawn to it still.
People have been standing here for hours now, taking pictures. Earlier, a group of Catholic people gathered and started singing different songs. In in passing, people are making half-hearted jokes about how silly it is to be crying for a building. But to be honest, that's the case for a lot of people here.
That's the case for so many people around the world. I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, thank you for that, Bob. This morning, authorities in Paris are assessing the stability of Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire, as President Emmanuel Macron vows to rebuild, an effort that is likely to take years, if not decades. Let's bring back in Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi live with us from Paris this morning. Thank you for being here on Bloomberg Daybreak, Greg. And, you know, it was surreal seeing the images of Notre Dame in flames from this side of the globe. I can only imagine what the mood is like in Paris this morning after.
Well, pretty shocked. You know, I went by. I was there late last night when they were when the fires were still smoldering away, and there were groups of people singing on the street. In fact, this morning a bit more of a normal day. I mean, a lot of the streets have been reopened to traffic. A lot of curious onlookers. The thing is that this morning, from some angles you wouldn't know what had happened. You know, from some angles you've noticed from the facade. It looks like it should be. I mean, obviously the spire is not there, but if you're not aware, there should be a spire there. Nothing looks out of place. It's only from certain angles that you begin to see the extent of the damage. You see the roof is gone, the scaffolding is all twisted and burned, and then it's just obviously watching TV and seeing the images of the view from the top, where the roof is two-thirds of it gone, and there's a big gaping hole in the masonry where the spire once was.
You know, it is heartening to hear the president of France vowing to rebuild, but I mean, can it ever really be the same?
Yes and no. I mean, don't forget, it's not the same. It's never been the same church. We say it's 850 years old, but it's been constantly changed and renovated and restored over the years. And it was almost even torn down after the revolution. It was so mistreated during the revolution. It was looted and ransacked, and it was used as a warehouse. There was even talk of tearing the thing down. Most of what you see in the church now actually is 19th century. Most of it is from a restoration that was begun by Napoleon. So, I mean, you know, these Gothic cathedrals in Europe, they're all living monuments. I mean, none of them there's no Gothic cathedral that's ever been completed. Let's not forget that. I mean, they've all got something that was left undone from the original plans. They've been renovated over the years. So, yes, I mean, it'll cost a lot of money. I don't think money is going to be the problem. I mean, already something like $300 million has been pledged. I mean, I think $500 million has been pledged just this morning. It's more just the painstaking work and finding the artisans who can still do the sort of work that's required. But, yes, it can be rebuilt.
Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi with us from Paris this morning after the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Greg, again, thanks for being with us live this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. A morning pointing to gains ahead of the open of U.S. equity trading on Wall Street. S&P futures up 9 points right now. Dow futures up 106. NASDAQ futures up nearly 32 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.55%. The two-year at 2.38%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.